Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Good morning and a happy Trash Tuesday. Send us your trashes, won't you? I'm reading through them all morning long. DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. You could always call me up as well and drop a little Trash Tuesday on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up this hour on the show in a half hour from now, esteemed author who has written a book about the incredible basketball life of Steve Kerr, Scott Howard Cooper, has written Steve Kerr, A Life. And I thought this was a really appropriate time to talk about Kerr's career, because think of how many NBA finals he was front and center of and had a significant contribution to. Steve Kerr was part of all three of the second half of Michael Jordan's titles, 96, 97, 98 in Chicago. Steve Kerr was part of the 99 Spurs with Popovich and Tim Duncan and David Robinson. He was part of the 03 Spurs as well when they had Parker and Ginobili. And then was the head coach of three NBA championship teams with the Golden State Warriors and the finals where Kevin Durant got injured. He has touched so many different NBA finals over the last 25 years that I thought it was a perfect day to talk about this, because even though we're only in the conference finals, this is traditionally the time of the year where we're talking about the NBA finals, late June. So we'll do that with the author of his biography, Scott Howard Cooper, coming up in 30 minutes from now. A couple of notes just on that story that we were talking about last hour before the break about Brad Stevens. Stevens talked about the reason they traded Kemba Walker for Al Horford. It's basically two reasons. Number one, they feel like they upgraded from a personality standpoint. Kemba clearly was unhappy. Al Horford always was a happy camper. Just took more money in the free agent market and left. But always enjoyed his time in Boston. They want that good vibe, smiling Al to be around. And Al is a remarkably mature and respected and even-keeled type of guy. And so you know that's a bonus. From a basketball standpoint, I don't think he has much left. He's 35 years old. But they're looking at the upgrade from an attitudinal standpoint. Totally fine. From a financial flexibility standpoint, obviously it also helps you because you save money on this deal. Kemba had more years and more money on it. The Thunder decided to take that deal because they get a first-round draft pick out of it from the Celtics. So the Celtics get some roster flexibility, some cap flexibility. Fine. But it does speak to a couple of things that have haunted the Celtics, and part of the reason I have never been that high on Brad Stevens as a head coach. Brad Stevens needs to help undo the dysfunction in that locker room because of Brad Stevens. Now, of course, he was handed Kemba Walker from Danny Ainge, but as the story goes, Gordon Hayward left in free agency, and Hayward said, "Look, if you want to get to the NBA Finals and over the hump, you've got to be tougher on these guys." And apparently, Brad Stevens took that to heart and started to do that with Kemba Walker. So on the one hand, Stevens was too lackadaisical getting in guys' faces and being tough and aggressive because he's not normally that guy. He's a much more cerebral, studious guy. So he had trouble on that in that realm. And then he overcompensated this year with Kemba Walker and created friction. So he didn't know how to handle it before Kemba, and then didn't know how to handle it with Kemba, and then had to trade Kemba, and in doing so, give up a first-round draft pick. Brad Stevens is a really bright guy. He's obviously really bright. And my guess is he'd be the most pleasant dinner guest ever. Have him over the house. He's not going to complain, no matter if he's allergic to shellfish. He's not going to ask for gluten-free bread because he's got a gluten allergy. He's not going to burp at the table, tell an off-color joke. He's going to listen, not talk. He's not going to consume the room. He's going to be naturally inquisitive. He might have a fun story or two. He's going to be a great dinner guest. Unbelievable. Doesn't make him a great coach, at least not of the NBA. Seemed like he was a great college coach, but limited as an NBA coach. And now he jumps into the front office and has to undo what was wrong with the Celtics. Again, not that Danny Ainge is off the hook here. But Stevens now has to build a culture that didn't exist, and he was the best person to help fix the culture as the head coach. A GM only does so much. The head coach definitely helps build the culture and build consensus with players. And, you know, according to this athletic report from Jared Weiss, Stevens and that locker room was at odds all season, and they didn't get along. That Blake Griffin was asking a Celtics player last year, "Hey, should I sign there?" And the Celtics player said, "Don't. It's bad here. It's really bad." And that whole stomping on Lucky thing that Kyrie Irving did, that was a big deal because there wasn't a lot of pride inside that locker room. There wasn't a lot of pride inside that roster. And that goes to the head coach as well. So those are things that Brad Stevens has to own. And to me, does this move give them more flexibility? I would think so. But that doesn't fix everything, that's for sure. That Celtics team, it's not just a snap of your fingers and you move Al Horford in and now suddenly you're a much better basketball team. That's not how this thing's going to work. There's other moves to be made, major moves, and you've still got to hire a head coach that works. And that's an unknown. Now, I think it's a slam dunk to hire Rick Carlisle. He's got Celtics roots. He's won a championship. He's kind of an older, more veteran, established coach, where Brad Stevens is still a younger guy and a total unknown at GM. I think Carlisle will be the perfect fit. Hasn't happened yet, but I think it's a slam dunk fit for those two parties. Golden Tate has had an interesting career, hasn't he? Tate was in Seattle when they went to back-to-back championships, or back-to-back Super Bowls rather, and won a championship with the Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson as a young quarterback. He had three 1,000-yard seasons, actually all of them with Detroit after he left and signed a free agent deal with the Lions. He then spent a hot minute in Philadelphia. He then spent two very up-and-down seasons with the Giants. And last year, remember, was benched because he wanted a bigger role in the offense, and Joe Judge doesn't play that. His wife was bellyaching about his lack of touches in the offense. Remember, he also had that on-field fight with Jalen Ramsey. His tenure in New York was kind of a disaster after signing a big deal, one of Gettleman's great strikeouts, and also a player that has run real hot for his years of the NFL. Well, how about this? Golden Tate, we're in late June, so 1 month from now, training camps are going to open. Golden Tate doesn't have a job. Golden Tate is calling around saying, hey, anybody need me? And he sounded kind of desperate in doing so. And now he's talking about, you know, I'd love to go home to Tennessee. I'd love to go to Indianapolis with Carson Wentz. I'd love to go to the Rams because of Matthew Stafford and our connection there. I like the entire NFC West, to be honest. This is what he said. Golden Tate might as well just say, I'd be happy anywhere. Please give me a job. He's only 32 years old. He's only 32. He's not that old. But the years of Golden Tate being productive enough to deal with his temper and his temperament is gone. And Golden Tate has worked himself out of a job right now. Not to say he won't end up with one in August. Training camp happens. You know, you look at your wide receiving core and you've got a bunch of rookies there and you realize they don't know the offense. Or you feel like, you know what, we just had an injury. We could use a guy like Golden Tate on a cheap. You realize you don't have any depth, so you bring in a Tate. It's not to say he won't have a job. But a guy of Golden Tate's accomplishments, 3 1,000-yard seasons, 2 Super Bowl appearances, a Super Bowl ring, 32 years old, not too over the hill, should have a job right now. Especially if he's this desperate and will work for peanuts. He doesn't. It's because the juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore. And last year was such an awful season. Golden Tate started only 4 games. He caught only 35 passes for less than 400 yards. And had 2 notable incidents that didn't help the team. Cat's out of the bag, man. It's one thing to bark and be feisty and to battle and to fight with teammates or opponents or argue with the coaching staff about touches when you're 26. It's another thing when you're not as productive as a guy they can draft that they know is going to be happy to be there. Golden Tate was a good player for a long time. Golden Tate had a pretty good career. But Golden Tate's out of a job right now because he burned all of his bridges in the NFL. And people just don't want to deal with it. And that's what so many of these guys don't realize. Last year, Golden Tate and his wife are probably upset because my touches are down, your touches are down, which means the next contract might not be here, so he should be a bigger part of the offense. You want that money still rolling in. You want the fame and celebrity that comes with this gig, with this job, all of that. But you know what else? When you speak out of turn and you blast coaches or you blast your quarterback, then people don't want to work with you. You know, you also have to be a good teammate, especially at 32, which is why you have so many of these aging veterans in the NFL that realize at that age or older, say all the right things, defend your teammates, defend your coach, because it's far easier to land a job when you're unproductive, when they know at least what they're going to get in terms of positive outlook, good preparation, talking to the media, won't say anything bad, won't go on social media and blast anybody. And you can't say that about some of these dudes like Golden Tate. And that's their own fault. You know, yeah, you want to play with a fire, fine. But handle your business privately. Once you make it public, everybody in the league knows it's public, Everybody in the media and the fans know it's public. And then you don't get the benefit of the doubt. When we come back here on the DA Show, AB has our headlines, and we will speak to the author, Scott Howard Cooper, of a new book about the incredible basketball life of Steve Kerr, and really a life off the field, off the court as well. Scott Howard Cooper, author of Steve Kerr, A Life, coming up here next also on a Trash Tuesday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
There's a good chance next week before you get ready for work, you and Taylor are going to have to come downstairs and pull a fake pigtail on my butt while I stick my nose with a pig snout in chocolate pudding. And she said, what?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Interesting request. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Saturday, a full day and night of sports begins at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific on CBS, with action in the WNBA between Washington and Dallas. At 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, big names like Koepka, DeChambeau, and Dustin Johnson compete at the Travelers Championship. Then in prime time at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, it's another superstar Saturday night with Racing Under the Lights at the Camping World SRX Series. That's all Saturday, only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Remember to listen to us on the Odyssey app or the CBS Sports app on your phone, or watch us at watchda.com. Kyle tweets, I'm trashing the Canadiens, standing opposite with a 10-inch pipe, ready to, you guessed it, unpipe it!
Unpipe it!
And unpipe the soul from their entire country. Cold water, DA! Trash them.
That's a dumpster dive.
Get cold water.
Kyle's a huge Golden Knights fan. Trying to pour cold water all over those
cold
Canadians.
Water.
Cold water.
Cold water.
Cold water. Daniel tweets, I'm trashing gas stations that have sanitizer dispensers at the pumps, yet they're all empty. What's the point? Trash them.
Illegal dumping.
That's such a good one. How many places now just had the sanitizer out last year, haven't refilled it in 6 months because they're like, all right, that part of it's over. Don't got to be safe anymore. Plenty of pumps all over the place, dispensers of sanitizer. You're like, oh, yeah, they haven't had sanitizer in this since October. Steve tweets, you just said every day during the pandemic you woke up and did a show and wore a button down because that's just what you do. Yeah, but did you wear pants? We can't see that on Watch DA. Trash it.
Are those maggots?
I'm wearing pants. And I'll tell you exactly why, how you would know that I'm telling the truth. Because I would feel entirely uncomfortable doing this show without pants. I would feel nervous, like somebody could see it. I always have that dream of being naked in class. Or no, in my underwear, really. And I'm always like, you know, everybody's looking at me. Stop looking at me, Swan. So I could never do the show comfortably if I didn't have pants on, which might be part of the reason that I dress up for the show, even though I've been doing it at the home office for the last year and a half. But, Mraz, not only is it highly likely he's done at least one show without pants on. It's, I would say, almost guaranteed he has, in the middle of the show, taken off of his pants because of a skid mark. I mean, I think it's, AB, wouldn't you say that that's probably the most likely thing that has happened during pandemic? At some point, like in the 8 o'clock hour, midway through the show, he took off his pants because there was some stain on it or some oopsie situation where he just was like, okay, these pants are done for the year.
I mean, first of all, I'm mad at you for making me think about this because it's not the deep dive, the advanced analytics I wanted to go through this morning. But sadly, it is 100% likely of a specific date. A memory, no, but has it happened? I would bet money that it has in the last, six, 15, 16 months. There's no doubt he has ruined an outfit somewhere along the way during this four-hour show.
Oh. Yeah. There are situations where he woke up and didn't want to put on pants. Then there were situations where he had to take off his pants.
I mean, I'm wearing mesh shorts right now with my polo shirt. I mean, so I'm doing business on top, party on the bottom, but I think everything is clean. I got that going for me at least.
Plenty of butt.
Mac and Bear tweets, good morning to the DA show and crew. Please trash the NCAA. They've been living off the backs of the student athletes for far too long. Trash these gangsters, please. Ho, ho, ho. Peter Schwartz. Trash it.
Are those maggots?
Yeah, the NCAA. The gangsters with the guns, right? Rob tweets, DA.
Peter Schwartz.
Going through my Facebook memories, 1 year ago today was the infamous Fartgate story, the secret of the mystery stench that Nancy Mraz finally confessed to. And then Mraz took a worse fall than Humpty Dumpty. Rob, your Facebook memories portend and predict our epic fail this morning. But standing by right now with our headlines is a kind Sir Andrew Bogus. AB, what do we got?
This is facts.
No NBA playoffs last night. So a gotta have it game five on ice in Tampa Bay had the national stage to itself. And the nation watched the Lightning shame the Islanders 8-0 for a 3-2 series lead. But head coach John Winnie Cooper, not that impressed by the final score.
Love the effort, but in the end, it's one win. And regardless of what you win by, it's the win that matters. You know, not by how much. And so it's clean slate in two nights, and we got to get after it again.
Cooper got two goals from Steven Stamkos and 21 saves from Andre Vasilevsky for his fourth career playoff shutout. The Lightning now 13-0 after a loss over the last two postseasons. Tonight, a gotta-have-it game five on ice in Vegas. The Golden Knights and Canadiens are 2-2. As for those NBA playoffs, Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard will miss game two for the Suns and Clippers in Phoenix tonight. LA forward Marcus Morris is questionable with a sore knee. At least Becky Hammon, Chauncey Billups, and Mike D'Antoni are still alive for the Blazers head coaching job, and the Pacers reportedly set to interview Terry Stotts, Steve Clifford, and Brian Shaw for their vacancy. While they were losing 4-0 at home to Cleveland, Cubs manager David Ross benched Javi Baez for losing track of the outs. Ross says he wasn't sending a message through his shortstop.
Javi's really important to this team. It's not about setting an example for a star player that's a big part of this team. That's not it. It's just, you know, let's get somebody in there that's fresh and let him regroup and he'll be better for it tomorrow. We'll all be better for it.
Interesting move by the Cubs letting the crowd into their post-game press conferences. Baez saying post-game he had no issues with his manager. He was on first, thought there were two outs, so he took off on a fly ball to left, but there was just one out, so Baez got doubled off. The Cubs have now lost 6 of 8. The Diamondbacks beat the Brewers 5-1 to snap their 17-game skid. The Padres took the first of three with the Dodgers 6-2, and the Braves beat the Mets 1-0 after losing 4-2. The Twins outlasted the Reds 7-5-12. Houston a 10-2 win in Baltimore for an 8-game win streak, and the Rangers beat the A's 8-3 to end a 6-game skid. For the second time this offseason, Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark arrested on gun charges. This time, LA police found an Uzi in his Lamborghini during a routine traffic stop on Sunday. Back in March, during another stop, police found two loaded guns in Clark's car. And Cardinals first-round pick Zaven Collins arrested early Sunday morning for speeding and reckless driving. Collins was doing, allegedly, 76 in a 35, but thankfully police say there were no signs of DUI. DA, back to you.
75 to 36?
Yeah.
Nice. Great. Delbert tweets, DA, happy late birthday to you from Delbert in Detroit. I'm trashing 1270 in Detroit that took your show off of the air on Monday. Trash them!
That's a dumpster dive.
Got a couple of these tweets today from listeners across the country. Indeed, our company has flipped over a couple of affiliates to BetQL programming. So there is a betting bent now on some of these affiliates in the mornings and really all day long as well. So that might supersede a lot of CBS Sports Radio programming. Just note that in today's day and age, you don't need your local affiliate if it's not what you want to listen to. So you can always listen to us by going to our free streaming options on your phone, the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. Also, you can listen to us for free by watching us at watchda.com. And if you have SiriusXM, you can listen to us on channel 206. This is normally the time of year we talk about the NBA Finals. This year's NBA season slightly delayed, so we're in the conference finals. But at this time of year, Steve Kerr has oftentimes been front and center. He has won 8 NBA championships, 5 as a player, 3 as a head coach of the Golden State Warriors. And there's a new book about Steve Kerr, Steve Kerr, A Life. It is written by an author who has covered sports for the LA Times, ESPN.com, the NBA, Sports Illustrated, amongst other outlets. He joins us here on the show, Scott Howard Cooper. Scott, good morning. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. And Steve Kerr is such an interesting backstory because unlike your traditional American basketball player or head coach, he grew up in the Middle East and unfortunately, tragically, lost his father due to terrorism in the Middle East. So what was that upbringing like for Steve Kerr, and how does that inform how he lived the rest of his life?
Well, it was obviously unique. He, as you mentioned, he was born in Beirut, and he spent a lot of time in Lebanon and in Egypt. He spent a long summer in northern Africa. He had a school year in France, and then the rest of it was in Southern California. So it obviously was a different upbringing and one that continues to impact him. I think a lot of what you see with Steve, as he's become much more outspoken in recent years on social issues and political issues, is because of his personality, of being very inclusive, and that's something that has been with him from the beginning, with his parents. His parents were both Americans, but obviously spent a lot of time in the Middle East as well. His dad especially. His grandparents on his father's side have that international background as well. So it has all helped shape the person you see now.
During his collegiate career, there was those ugly incidents where opposing fans, student sections, would taunt him for the death of his father at the hands of terrorists. You know, he has spoken about this, but that has got to be one of the most difficult things he ever had to deal with in basketball. Has there ever been a more difficult situation he has dealt with in terms of on the court?
Emotionally, I think that is the low of the low. When you talk about it, it was a rivalry game for people that don't know the backstory. He's an Arizona player who went to Arizona State for a game, so that sort of fed into it a little bit. But to have a group, and it was not the entire ASU fan base. It was a couple dozen people, but it was enough chanting PLO, PLO, and things along those lines that he just kind of dropped the ball, and this was pregame, and went and sat on the bench for a little while and started to sob. And some of his teammates were angered to the point that they almost went into the stands after these guys. He has had a lot of difficult moments in basketball. Obviously, nothing compares to what happened off the court with the loss of his father. But he was a college player who had just finished his junior season at Arizona playing for the United States in the World Championships in Spain and blew out his knee. and was told after the game, before he even left the arena, you're probably never going to play again. And this was for a guy that basketball was everything. Everybody knows the story about the health problems he had as the Warriors coach. One of the things we get into the book that hadn't been discussed much was that he was forced to start to consider having to retire. And this was early into the championship run with Golden State. He had a dream job, and he almost had to walk away. So he has had more than his share of setbacks emotionally and medically, physically on the court.
Scott Howard Cooper has written a book about Steve Kerr, Steve Kerr, A Life. He joins us this morning here on the show. You know, Steve, when he was a member of the Jordan Bulls, was obviously kind of a role player, a bench player in a galaxy of superstars. But when he's on that podium and he has hit a big shot in an NBA Finals game, he takes the mic and, you know, normally a role player, a backup, a lightly used player who kind of humbly just say, happy to be here, yada, yada, yada. Here's Steve Kerr saying, well, once again, I had to pick up Michael. And the entire crowd goes crazy. It was a wonderful scene in the documentary series last year about The Last Dance, but it shows some real cojones by Steve Kerr. What was his personality like at that point in his career, and how did he fit into the Jordan Bulls?
That's been his personality his entire life. That he is, if they gave an MVP for a smart ass, he's a candidate every single year. By the same token, he knew his role and understood about blending in. He's a guy that can appear at a comedy club. Literally, he's gone up and done bits when called upon at Second City in Chicago. But at the same time, understands that if he doesn't get into a game for a couple weeks as a player, that it's his job to take it. That one of the reasons that he appealed to teams was because he would be sitting quietly, that he wouldn't be complaining about not getting his shots or his minutes or anything like that. But that's a lot of what you saw at that moment kind of embodies who Steve is. Those 2 days, those 3 days where he was having a terrible series, that's one of the things that people forget. It wasn't just a matter of a guy stepping up in the moment. It was a guy stepping up in the moment after having one of the worst stretches of his entire playing career. He was in a deep funk, and he's in that huddle, and Michael Jordan says to him, look, they're probably going to come and double me. Stockton's going to come to me, so you better be ready. And Steve points right back at him and says, I'll be ready. He had the confidence. He wanted that shot. He had practiced it who knows how many millions of times, and so he makes that shot. The Bulls end up winning that series on that shot, and a couple days later, as he said, he's the guy up there in the crowd is there for Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson, obviously, and Steve Kerr is the one who steals the show. And he has that personality, he has that attitude that fits into any situation, whether it's being quiet or whether it's that the right amount of smart aleck for the moment. He understands how to read the crowd.
So the Bulls are the Beatles of basketball, and the Spurs are the exact opposite, and yet he's able to fit seamlessly into the Spurs as well, winning championships in 99 and 2003. The Spurs have their own culture, their own identity, the Greg Popovich type of thing. How much of who Kerr is as a head coach is informed from Pop?
Oh, a lot. A lot. Not just, I'll even take it a step further and say, as a coach and as a person as well, because when we talk about Steve's upbringing and being aware of different surroundings and being a part of that and his parents encouraging him to ask questions and wonder about the world around him, he goes then to Phil Jackson and follows Phil Jackson with Greg Popovich, who were at the time were very different coaches and different people in some regards. But one of the aspects that both of those brought to Steve that shaped him as a coach and as a person later in life was about bringing in the outside world. Everything you heard about Phil Jackson and his chance of that he learned on the Indian reservation growing up and the political aspects, and a lot of, you know, Phil had a lot of conversations about gun control as well, long before it became an outward advocacy issue for Phil. And Pop was the same way. He would have some practices, and he would say, all right, at an election time, and they would discuss the election and say, all right, one team is going to be people who are going to go Democrat. The other team is going to be people who would go Republican. That just isn't done much now and certainly wasn't done at the time, but that's who Pop was. And not only did it become something that continues to shape Steve as a coach, because Pop and Phil both remain important figures in his life, but personality-wise, that's a lot of who Steve is as well.
Such an interesting basketball life. Author Scott Howard Cooper joins us this morning on the show. He ends up taking this Golden State job. They have success right away. He wins a championship with the Warriors year one. Goes to the NBA Finals again year two. They lose to LeBron. But it's not all happy there, because you have the 3-1 series collapse against the Cavs in 2016. And you also have the Kevin Durant situation where they lose the NBA Finals to Toronto, and there's kind of this unease about the entire season with KD and about to leave. Out of his years at Golden State, what would you say have been the most trying for him?
Well, certainly, personally, it was the physical problems that came with what started out as a back injury that required surgery. And they thought that they could fix that up, and it ended up in spinal fluid leaking into his system. And at that point, a back injury became something much worse. He was miserable. There were many days that he would wake up and just sort of sit in a dark room for hours at a time. He had terrible nausea, terrible headaches, couldn't keep his balance. For anyone who's ever had to go through something like that, when you talk about spinal fluid leaking into your system, it messes up your life in unimaginable ways. As I said before, he started to have those tough conversations with him, and he mentioned it to some of the people closest to him in his inner circle about, I don't know that I can continue as Warriors coach. So when you talk about the toughest moment, I don't think there's any question that's it. When you talk about the basketball moment, certainly it's been trying times since the end of the finals against the Raptors about 2 years ago. Once they lost Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant to injury, it had already been a challenge with Kevin Durant. You mentioned the emotions, and Kevin had obviously the diva complex, for lack of a better description. That was a challenge. He loved coaching Kevin, the basketball player, but there were challenges coaching Kevin, the person. But once you had those two injuries, and then Kevin left, and then Klay missed what basically now is two seasons with injury, it has been a big challenge, but one that is not new to him. As we said, he's been blessed in a lot of ways, and he's the first to say how fortunate he's been through his entire life. But this is a guy that throughout his entire life has had to overcome, whether as a player through injuries. He's a guy that was not recruited at all. He's a guy that had no business thinking that he would end up having a 15-season career. And so when you talk about the Warriors having to get through this, it's been a challenge, but it's also something that he's been well-equipped to deal with emotionally.
The book is Steve Kerr, A Life by Scott Howard Cooper. It's available. Check it out. Pretty cool. What a life it has been for Steve Kerr around basketball. This is great stuff, Scott. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate the time very much.
Thank you for the conversation. Have a great day.
My pleasure. When we come back here on the show, we've got advanced analytics behind your poll question today about trading Ben Simmons and your epic fail, plus more trash is DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Okay, so with the trade potentially of Ben Simmons by the Sixers, should the Sixers trade Simmons even if they don't get equal return? 62% of you said yes. Brian Windhorst on SportsCenter said that Simmons, who had shot left-handed during his career, will examine switching to a right-handed shot this offseason. Oh, I'm sure that's going to work out. Simmons took 95 shots in the playoffs. He tried 67 with his right hand, 19 using both hands, and only 9 with his left hand. In his career, 70% of his shots are righty. Simmons in 2016 said, I quote, think I was supposed to be right-handed. Oh my God, are we kidding? Are we kidding? Simmons doesn't know whether he's a lefty or a righty? He's a three-time All-Star and a number one overall pick of the NBA draft. You should know this by now. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. 1 year ago today, the dramatic reading of Mraz's uncovering of Fartgate.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz writes, back on October the 3rd, 2003, a fart lingered and cleared out the dance floor at my uncle's wedding during Shout.
What is that?
I think it's the horse.
So many pointed the finger at me. I was known for the next 2 hours as the farter. I had family asking me, do I need that at dessert? It wasn't until 2 days later, where I was still bothered, that my mother called me into the living room. It was at this time that she admitted it was her.
Excuse me. What do you feed this animal?
But she had to have me take the fall. Because it would be expected if I did it.
We can't breathe right here. Hurry it up. Rusty!
Knowing the pain my mother must have felt that she could not admit to a fart at a wedding, to pin it on her own son made me realize we should not hide our farts. Instead, wear them proudly. It is a life function. It's 100% a true story. It literally quieted the dance floor for nearly 30 minutes that night. I'm still looked down upon when that wedding is brought up to this day.
How can you be that stupid?
Well, my mom looks at me in this deep stare, making sure her secret was still good.
Fancy snacky.
My argument that day was that I didn't have cheese at cocktail. I didn't have cheese at cocktail hour, but nobody would accept that. The DJ thought that his set was bombing, but in fact, it was just my mom doing the bombing.
Rusty!
I guess the secret's out all these years later.
Rez, does anybody know outside of you and your mom the truth there?
It's now robbing the 3-2-1, apparently.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
One of the great moments in show history happened 1 year ago today. Mraz uncovered behind the scenes this story, and I said, we need to have a dramatic reading of this G-chat. That was all in a G-chat, Google chat, during the show. And I said, Pete, cue up the most sappy, sad music possible, because we're going to do a dramatic reading of Merez's admission there. Incredible. More Trash Tuesday. This is from Dixieland Dan. I'm trashing people that think just because I've got a country fried accent, I can't hold an intelligent conversation. Just because I sound like a redneck does not mean I can't hold an intellectual discussion on literature, orchestral music, and biology. Merez is one of those people. DA, I might be your most diverse listener. I've probably read well over 300 books in my life, ranging from fantasy to historical biographies. I can clean and cook deer. I played college-level baseball. I was an A-plus student in bio and dendrology. I collect Pokemon cards, and I even played in an orchestra and did marching band all through high school and college. I'm a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. Trash the people that don't give Dixieland Dan the benefit of the doubt.
Are those maggots?
Awful. Don't judge a book by their cover, okay? Just remember that.
Wow.
Jedediah tweets, I'm trashing my 15-year-old son who just got back from summer camp late last night but forgot to take today off from work, making me get up at 6 a.m. to drive him. Trash him.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
A lot of fire coming Merez's way. Dylan is trashing Merez for his takes during the Bucks-Nets series. Turns out the Nets were the real team made of glass with their injuries. Hashtag piggy trash.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Mr. Clean is trashing ridiculous 5-hour, 12-inning baseball games. Play two extra innings, then a 5-pitch home run derby with two players in each team to settle the game. Hashtag Trash Tuesday. Great Trash Tuesday, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and today, executive producer. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and anchor of Canadian Bacon. Thanks to Andrew Catlin, the Wizard of Watch DA. We are back at it tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you then. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.